I'm going to continue my series I started last Sunday called The Hope of Easter. And we did celebrating Christ our Passover. And then today is Palm Sunday. And we are commemorating the triumphant entry of Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem on the donkey. You know, in some churches, or at least they did used to do this long ago. I don't know whether they still do it or not, but I haven't checked on it. But they used to give out palm leaves when people came on Palm Sunday. Anybody ever had that happen? Yes. To celebrate his triumphant entry in Jerusalem. As I talk about Christ's triumph into Jerusalem today, I want you to understand the significance that it has for us in 2019. Turn to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Sound man, you weren't quick enough. All right. Here we go. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them ahead. "Go into the village over there," he said. "And as soon as you enter it, you'll see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks, 'What are you doing?' just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will immediately let you take them." This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, "Tell the people of Jerusalem, 'Look, your king is coming. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt.'" The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw the garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest." The inn entered the city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. "Who is this?" they asked. And the crowd replies, "It's Jesus of Nazareth in Galilee." Now this is an account of when Jesus rode in Jerusalem as the triumphant king. He was probably at that particular moment at the height of his popularity among the Jewish people, but not with the Jewish leaders. See, the people heard that Jesus was coming and they went to meet him. They paved the way for him to ride into Jerusalem on the donkey. And somebody might say, in today's term, that would be like riding in on maybe a Cadillac, a Lincoln, or a Lexus, or a Mercedes, or something. You know, I mean, that was prestige, in other words. Now, the prophet Zechariah foretold this event when he has said, "Rejoice, O people of Zion, shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt." Now, I'm reading these from the NLT version. Now, Zion here literally refers to the hills around the city of Jerusalem. So this prophecy was literally fulfilled when Jesus rode in to Jerusalem. Now, Zion is actually a type or a reference to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we are all redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We are members of that church. And so this prophecy is speaking to us today is Christ is our Savior and our King that rode into our lives. The prophet Isaiah spoke of this event in saying, "The Lord has sent this message to every land to tell the people of Israel, 'Look, your Savior is coming. See, he brings reward with him as he comes.'" Now, you know, they shouted explanations. They shouted adorations, "Hosanna, rejoice. The king's coming," so forth and so on. And actually, from Albert Barnes' notes on the Bible, the Hosanna and actually Hosanna, which carries a meaning of save now, save, I beseech you. That's what Albert Bourne says about it. Although some thought Christ as the Messiah, most of the people were thinking of him as their natural king and their natural savior that would deliver them from Roman rule. You remember, they were under the rule of Rome. In fact, if you'll go back and study a little history, you'll find that it's called that. The Romans ruled the whole area, and it was called the Roman Empire. There's about, 5, 10 maybe countries right now that would have been in that, what they call the Roman Empire. Now, the people were looking for freedom from that. Instead, he actually was preparing to become the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for the freedom of all believers. Christ did not come to establish a natural kingdom, but to bring a spiritual kingdom for those that would receive him. Everything Jesus did on the earth today, then, was for us today. We need to know what that all means for us. You know, so many times we look around and sometimes we wonder, well, what significance is that for me? I mean, this happened a long time ago. What is the significance? What's it mean for me? What can it do for me? Now, sometimes we in our humanity need to get out of the idea, you know, we everything we look at, how's it going to help me? Well, there are times that's good, but there's other times that's not. There's sometimes that you need to be a help instead of looking for something to help you. That's a great opportunity to really get excited. Now, here he is. Christ made this triumphant ride into Jerusalem. But it seemed that just a few days later that he went down in defeat. See, this was Palm Sunday. They were proclaiming him as king, shouting Hosanna praises, giving him honor. But it wasn't too long after that these same people rejected him and said, crucify him. Because he didn't come and they didn't accept him as the Messiah. They were looking for a natural deliverer, not a spiritual deliverer. This led him down the path of suffering and sacrifice for all mankind. As as I begin this series with the Passover and the significance between the Passover feast and the Lord's table, and now with this message, which will culminate in the third message of celebrating Christ, our resurrection. Remember, we celebrated Christ our Passover. We're celebrating Christ our King today. You see, we need to get a hold of the significance of all of the events here that led up to the cross and to the resurrection. Because even if all of the events happen up until his death, And nothing happened at resurrection, it's still all of naught. But we need to understand the significance of all this. See, you see, the more you understand the significance for you today, the more you can enjoy the benefits that God has for you through Christ's death. Hello. Now, Christ suffered what we would call a mock trial. It was rigged. It was already set. They might as well not had the trial. They knew what they were going to do before they ever did all of that. That was just a showpiece. And then the crucifixion which came. and it looked like defeat. But we can't always go by what it looks like. Because Christ came to the earth to provide salvation and redemption for every individual. That was his purpose. That's why he came. Look at Colossians 1, 13 and 14 in the NLT. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. Reading from the NLT. I'll give you a moment to turn there. Okay, looks like people on the front row have got it. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgiveness of sins. Now turn over one chapter to Colossians 2, 13 through 15. You were dead in your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He concealed the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Christ did this for us, not for himself, not for the Father God. He did it for us so that we could obtain salvation and redemption and victory and walk in victory in this life. That's what all this means. He went through the terrible sufferings and the unfair trial and the cross and then to the grave for us, for me, for you that are watching there. Now go with me to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, please. Hebrews 2, 14. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Now, when it's talking about death there, you got to realize it is not talking about cessation of life. It is talking about spiritual death. Because when back we read a while ago, we were dead. We read in the Bible, we were dead, our trespasses and sin. We were alive, but we were dead spiritually. That's what this is talking about here. He who had the power of death spiritually. Only in this way could he set free all who lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Christ suffered greatly in the natural. He was beaten by those Roman soldiers. They made a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And I had one of those for a while around here, and I don't know what happened here. It's made of a special kind of a long thorn, about that long, and it's very hard to break. So when they jammed it down on his head, instead of the thorn breaking, it dug into his scalp, and the blood flowed. They pulled out his beard. I don't know, some of you guys that got a beard, grab a handful and pull it out and see what it feels like. And I saw some of them with beards covering up your face. If you see anybody with a beard, reach over. No. Don't do that. No way. They pulled out his beard. They spat on him. They slapped him around. They slapped him in the face, slapped him around. Then he was made to carry his own cross toward Calvary's hill until he fell under the load, being weakened. And Simon the Cyrene had to carry the rest of the way for him. He hung on that cross, nails in his hands, nails in his feet. He was mocked as they had put a purple robe on him and said, "Look at this king. Look at him now." The people stood around looking at him. But he also suffered spiritually. And what I mean by that, because remember, he looked up and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He didn't sin, but he was made a sin offering for humanity. It says that he took the cup willfully. He fought the battle in the grave and defeated the devil himself. It looked like defeat. It looked like this was the end. But this was only part of the plan of God to redeem man that Satan had stolen from him in the garden. Remember, God made man to walk and talk with him. Then he said, it's not good he be alone, so he made Eve, the woman, to be his helpmate. But the enemy, devil, came in. See, the devil got kicked out of heaven because he tried to overthrow God. So he got kicked out. The devil is against God. And anything that you see happening that's against God and the things of God, you can account it to the devil himself, because he wants to kill, steal, and destroy everything that has anything to do with God. But he defeated the devil during this time. The cross opened up a way for us to walk in victory in this life. Not when we get to heaven. Thank God for what's going to happen when we get to heaven. But I ain't in heaven yet. Oh, I should say I'm not in heaven yet. Excuse me, my Texan is coming out. I'm not in heaven yet. I'm living here. And as the old, I grew up Pentecostal, and they used to say, hey, we can get a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in. You see, when Jesus was on earth, he walked in authority and a power as a man. Not in his deity as the Son of God, in his manship. He walked as a man. It said, Peter said it, Acts 10:38, down at Cornelius' house. He said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. If he was operating in his deity as Jesus, he wouldn't have had to have been anointed. But operating as a man, he was anointed, as we are, as John tells us in his writings, not in the gospel, but in his epistles. He tells us that we have received an anointing because we've been born again. This is a picture of him triumphing over every temptation by his victory over the temptation in the wilderness. This is a picture of him ruling over sickness and disease by him healing the sick. This is a picture of him ruling over the devil's powers by casting out the demons. This is a picture of him ruling over lack and poverty by him taking two fish and five loaves. And they're not big ones either. Small. They're small if you ever seen the loaves. And feeding 5,000 people. This is a picture of him ruling over the forces of nature by walking on the water and calming the sea. I'm talking about him living as a man, walking in the authority of God by the anointing. He ruled over death and the grave by raising the widow's son and Lazarus. Today, Christ reigns in heaven at the right hand of the Father, having all authority in heaven and in earth. Go to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, 9. Philippians 2, 9. Like I told you, I've been reading from the NLT. If I change, I'll tell you. I don't like everything the NLT says, but I like some of the scriptures because as you read them, it gives you a more full understanding of what it is in today's world, okay? Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him a name above all names, that the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It says the highest, whoever sat, if you go do a little study in history, you'll find out that whoever sat on the right hand side of the king was the most powerful in the kingdom, underneath the king. That's why it says he sat down at the right hand, because under God, he is the next powerful. That's Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Jesus Christ, our Lord. We celebrate him today as our King. He had attained the highest honor to be seated at the right hand. He had obtained the position of having all authority. And Christ obtained he also obtained the position of having all power. Now Christ has given that power and that authority through his name to us who are born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and learn how to speak the name of Jesus. I grew up with Pentecost. I grew up in those ladies in the church. They'd pray. I grew up with people saying, plead the blood. I plead the blood. I remember hearing my grandmother say, I plead the blood. Anybody remember that? What are they talking about? They're talking about Jesus, because it was what Jesus did and what his blood represented that put the devil on the run. The devil is afraid of the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, see, we need to learn to celebrate Jesus. It says, at the name of Jesus, everything has to bow. Anything that's got a name has got to bow to that powerful, almighty name, Jesus Christ. You'd ask my wife. She'll hear me. I'll be driving. Or I'm sitting in the right seat and she's driving. And she hears me saying all the time, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I was giving him praise. See, you need to learn how to praise him all the time. Something comes at you, giving you a hard time. Thank you, Jesus. What are you saying? Thank you that this is not going to prosper because of who you are and because of the authority that I have in your power. I am not going to be overcome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Now, we can reign. Now it comes to the point. See, this, I'm on that right now. We can reign as kings. Little K, not the big K. He's the big K. We're the little K. King Jesus. Come on now. We don't become, and spiritually we become kings. And why I'm saying that, because that means we are rulers. That's all that means. It's not some big something that somebody tries to make it. That's all it means. Because he has made it possible because of his name to live and reign in life as kings in Jesus' name. Look at Romans 5:17. 5:17 in the New Living. Now stay with me here. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused the death to rule over many. But the even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Through one man, Adam, sin entered. through one man, Jesus Christ, sin was eradicated if you will accept his sacrificial blood that was spilled on Calvary's hill. Sometimes they're called the first Adam and the second Adam, if you want to get theologically on. And I could get there, but I'm not going there because we don't have time. The classified edition of the Amplified says, reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. The Phillips New Testament says, through another man, Jesus Christ, men by their acceptance of his more sufficient grace and righteousness should live all their lives like kings. Before Christ went to the cross, victory in life was not available to anybody that was not an Israelite. Before the cross, the Israelites were the only ones that had a covenant with God. They had a covenant with God through Abraham. They had a covenant with God. They were the only ones that had a privilege to tap into that covenant. But Christ going to the cross and dying on the cross and shedding his blood gave us that were not a part naturally of the covenant. It gave us a right to become spiritually part of the covenant. You go to Galatians chapter 3 and you read in three different places there that we have become Abraham's seed through Jesus Christ, therefore being heirs to the promises or to the covenant. And we receive that covenant through Jesus Christ. He is our King, and he has delivered to us the power to live victoriously and to live a triumphant life in Christ Jesus. Because of what he did, we now have salvation. We now have healing. We now have protection and safety. All of this because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We can tell the enemy to flee. James says to tell him to flee from you. And that word flee means to run from as in terror. Why is the devil running from you in terror when you plead the blood of Jesus and use the name of Jesus? Because at the cross is where Jesus defeated him. I don't know what took place, but something did. Because of that, we can tell the circumstances they have to change. We can declare that situations have to turn around. We become a part of the kingdom of God and are heirs and joint heirs to the covenant, and we can reign in life as kings. He wants us to reign over the enemy. The devil himself. Don't be afraid. Stand up to your full height and begin to say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You can't say that name 5 or 6 times out loud, but without you beginning to feel something. How many know what I'm talking about? It's because when you use that name, you release a power. A power that no other one knows about. Hallelujah. We're to reign, not be defeated, but to live a life of victory that he has already won for us. Not going to get, we already have it. Through the name of Jesus Christ, you triumphed in life. You walk in victory through the name of Jesus. We can't be silent and expect to walk in victory. We got to open our mouth and use our authority with the name of Jesus. Learn to speak the name of Jesus against every situation that comes against you. I say it all the time. in Jesus' name, going back to Isaiah, no weapon formed against me will prosper. I say it all the time. I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind through Jesus Christ. You see it all, everything in the Word of God, everything that we have hinges on Jesus and what He did at that cross. That's what we're celebrating today. Jesus the King. He rode into Jerusalem as the King. We need to learn to separate that. Everything must be done and declared in the name of Jesus. That's why you need to end your prayer in Jesus' name, because that's like putting the seal on it. Anybody ever had to take a piece of paper and get it notarized with a seal? Man, that the notary can sign it where it says notary, but if that seal is not there, it doesn't amount to anything. But when that seal is there, it is a legal document. Oh, when you pray and you put the seal in Jesus' name, it becomes a legal document in heaven and in hell. And in heaven, it releases all the forces of God against all of the forces of the devil himself. Glory to God. Man, this is one of the greatest series I ever preached, I think. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, when Peter ministered to the man at the gate called Beautiful, he said he didn't have anything, any money or any gold, silver. But he said, I've got something for you, buddy. And he reached out and he said, rise in the name of what? Jesus. And he said, this is what he said in Acts 3:16, through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. Now it's time for us to rise up and speak the name of Jesus and watch a victory be obtained for us with our own eyes. Somebody said, well, I'm waiting on God. Well, then you're going to be waiting, because God's already done it. You get up and you start doing something by using your power and your authority in the name of Jesus. Well, I'm waiting for a special manifestation. You don't have to wait for no special manifestation. Thank God for special manifestations, and they're great when they come. But they only come as God wills. But I'm going to tell you what. Power in using the name of Jesus comes anytime you use it. Hallelujah. I don't know whether y'all getting anything out of this or not, but I done preached me happy. Today, we commemorate Palm Sunday, looking back to the day that he rode triumphantly into Jerusalem as King Jesus. Today, we celebrate him as Christ our King, as he rode victoriously into our lives and become Jesus our King, Jesus our Savior, Jesus our Deliverer. And we can rejoice because he has provided victory for us, because he's our King. Look at Romans 8:37 in the New Living. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory over sin and death, spiritual death here, through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14, in the Message. In the Messiah, in Christ, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. The victory parade continues until you leave this earth. If you know how, once you accept him, if you know how to live in the power and the authority of Christ our King, today is the day that any of you that are dealing with situations and conflicts in your life, this is your day to lift your hands and say, in the name of Jesus, I speak to you. You have to turn around. These circumstances have to change because of the authority and the power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's stand up right now. And if any of you have been dealing with something, I want you to begin to speak to it in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and just begin to do it right now. I'm not going to lead you. You're going to do it for yourself. You're the one that needs to reign as king. I'm learning how to do it in my life. I didn't say I was doing it. I'm learning how. We all need to learn how to do it. Speak to your situation. Speak to it in the name of Jesus. Tell it has to turn around. It has to change. God said so. The blood of Jesus said so. The power of God has to change that situation in your life today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Did anybody get anything out of this today? Celebrate Jesus our King. Oh yeah, He is the King. Glory to God. Glory to God. Bow your heads for just a moment. I'm so thankful that there are a lot of us in here that can get excited about Jesus our King. But if you're in here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your King and Savior, you can know Him before you leave here today and your life will never be the same again. Or if you happen to be in this place and you know what it is to reign with Him as a King, but you're not there where you're supposed to be and you just need to rededicate yourself to God. If you're any one of those invitations right now, I want to see your hand lifted high in the air because I want to pray for you. And you're not going to leave here like you came. You need Christ. You need to rededicate your life. Let me see your hand anywhere, upstairs, downstairs, wherever you're at. Ushers, help me because I can't see all the way back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Is there any hands upstairs? There's no hands upstairs. Anybody see anybody anywhere downstairs? Thank you, Lord. I don't see any hands. Heavenly Father, if there happened to be one person in this room today that needs you or needs to rededicate their life, I pray that the Holy Spirit will not let them go until they stop and ask you to be Lord and Savior of their life, ask you to forgive them and rededicate their life to you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. As I started to pray that, you here in the crowd, keep your heads bent, keep praying. The Lord said that there are some of you that are watching that you need to rededicate your life to God. And so I'm going to pray this prayer. This congregation is going to repeat it after me, and I want you to pray this prayer with me because the Lord said there's some of you need to rededicate. So to reach your hands out toward that screen, say this with me. Heavenly Father, forgive me for walking down the wrong way. Help me get back on the right path with you. And Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I rededicate myself to you today. I thank you now that you've heard me, you've forgiven me, and I am now back to the place I'm supposed to be. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer, there's a place that you can write to us there on your screen. Let us know about it. We'll send you some literature. Praise God, praise God. We just did television this past week, and we had several testimonies that come in from the television broadcast. And of course, we just do openings and closing. Any of you watch our TV broadcast? We just do the openings and closing. They take these messages to our priests, they put them on there. This one person just wrote that they rededicated their life to God. Praise the Lord. Thank God. We had three or four of them that we read. We get them all the time. Thank God. You that are watching, if you get blessed or healed, we want you to let us know. If you'd You can just write to rhema.org and tell us about it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I trust you got something today. Who is Jesus? My King. And I live as a king under my King because of his shed blood at Calvary. Because he went to that cross. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Well, praise God, praise God. Did you have something you wanted to sing?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Big, okay, really big. Shout out his name. Jesus. Come on. Shout out his name. Jesus. Shout out his name. Jesus. Oh, he's gonna roll to you. Shout out his name. Jesus. Shout out his name. Jesus. Shout out his name. Jesus. Oh, he's gonna roll. Come on, declare. Shout out his name.
Amen and amen. Praise God. Shout out his name. You know, when the enemy coming at you, just don't say Jesus, Jesus. Jesus! Get bold. Let the devil know who know that you know what you're doing. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.